So a few minutes ago, you heard me freaking out at the haunted house, and okay, it was pretty funny. But here's something else for you. That's the scene from Alien, where the baby alien bursts out of someone's chest. Now that is true horror. Alien is one of a bunch of classic horror movies featured in a new book called Shock Value: How a Few Eccentric Outsiders Gave Us Nightmares, Conquered Hollywood, and Invented Modern Horror. Jason Zinnemann is the author, and he's at our New York bureau. Welcome, Jason.
Great to be here.
So, Jason, your book's about the invention of modern horror. And, you know, I assume that all this stuff goes back to, you know, Boris Karloff and Nosferatu and all those classic monster films. But that's not really what you're talking about here, is it?
No, and just to some extent, I mean, you could say modern horror started with Universal Classics or even before that, as you say, with Nosferatu. I do think there is this significant turning point starting in 1968. The movies I look at are from that period to the end of the 70s. And the reason for it is I think that the horror genre today, which is bigger than it's ever been, many, many, many of the tropes and motifs from the horror genre today come from this period. And I think it was a huge transition from the kind of old horror, Karloff and Vincent Price and a lot of these old monster movies, to the kind of new brand of scares that you saw with the Rosemary's Baby and Alien and Halloween.
So I think we know what a classic horror film, you know, pre-1970s look like. Usually there was a monster, maybe a classic Dracula or Frankenstein. There was clearly a force of evil, and then there was a force of good, and the force of evil would attack the force of good, and in the end, good would win, and in between, people maybe got scared a little bit with like, oh, I want to suck your blood kind of thing. So what are the qualities of modern horror? What did we start to see in the late 1960s, in the 1970s that changed all that?
Well, I think a couple of things. One thing that you're putting your finger on is it became much more morally ambiguous. There was much more of a sense of confusion and disorientation. There were many more unhappy endings. It also, starting in the late 60s, partially influenced by documentary and cinema verite, it became much more realistic. Horror moved from being something very remote about a spooky house in Transylvania to about the prom queen at your in your local high school, or about going to the beach with your family.
You talk in your book quite a bit about Rosemary's Baby.
What have you done to it? What have you done to its eyes?
He has his father's eyes.
In what ways was this really sort of this icon of this new kind of horror?
Well, first of all, just the fact that a major studio was producing this pop boiler about the devil, directed by, you know, this art house filmmaker from Europe. You know, one of the real defining characteristics of horror before this period is just how disreputable it was. The other thing that I think Polanski introduced in it is this element of realism. You know, he took the supernatural story and he shot it on location in New York. He made it about things that people could relate to, the horrors of New York real estate.
Did she die in the apartment? Not that it makes
any difference. No. In a hospital.
And notably about Rosemary's Baby, unlike perhaps every other monster film before that, you didn't get to see the monster, just a tiny little bit of the baby, who that was supposed to be the big scare, and yet he held back for the first time.
You know, one of the interesting things about this period, I read about this in the book, I call it the monster problem, which is every horror audience wants the same thing, which is to see the monster loosely defined. And inevitably, when you see the monster, it's kind of an anticlimax. It's never as terrifying as what you could imagine. And, you know, one way to solve this problem is to keep the monster off screen for the most part.
You know, we're talking about these sort of psychological thriller, scary horror films. But at the same time, you said another revolutionary film was Night of the Living Dead. This is clearly one where the monster gets shown. In fact, many hundreds of the monsters get shown. What was Night of the Living Dead contributing to the horror genre of the time?
One element was the gore. You know, to see a little girl eat her father on screen in all its mess and blood. Back then, that was something relatively new. This kind of zombie, this flesh-eating zombie, was also something new. And, you know, the fact that it had this African-American protagonist who was a hero made the movie be seen by many critics and audiences as a kind of political statement, people started to see this and say, wait a second, a horror movie doesn't just have to be cheap fun. It can also make a serious point.
So after watching all these horror films and detailing the whole history of the genre, do you have a better idea of why people like this stuff?
I have many, many theories. I think there's a nostalgic pleasure being scared because some of our most potent scares are during childhood. And I think in a time when, you know, I'm often on my BlackBerry worried about three things that I have to do the next day and something I said the day before, I never feel more in the present than I'm when I'm scared at a horror film. And I think that is a very addictive feeling.
Well, those are all good brainy explanations, but maybe you're just a sicko.
Well, I would say that's also a big part of it.
That's Jason Zinnemann. His new book is Shock Value: How a Few Eccentric Outsiders Gave Us Nightmares, Conquered Hollywood, and Invented Modern Horror.
Thanks. Great to be here.